You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
Sometimes it can seem like change in English must be speeding up given all the changes in technology and things like that. But there have also been some major changes in the language over the past millennium.
That's what they say. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth. Joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Welcome, Anne.
Good morning.
And I think it's about time we talked about this because we get a lot of listeners who say things like, you know, I hear people saying things this way, but I always learned that it was this way. And one thing that you always remind us of is that language is always changing.
That's right. And I think sometimes we can wonder, is it speeding up because we have the internet and English is spreading all over the world? And the answer is, we don't completely know yet what the internet is doing to English and whether it is speeding up language change. It does mean that English is spreading around the world in a way we've never seen before, and in the process, coming into contact with languages all around the world. And language contact is one of the things that can speed up language change. English has also had a lot of contact in its history, which has led to some major changes in the language. And I thought we'd talk about two of those changes here because it can be an interesting perspective to keep in mind. These are big grammatical changes. I think sometimes we'll think about a change in English like all the vocabulary that got borrowed into English through contact with Latin and Spanish and German and French and Chinese and Italian and Arabic. That has certainly changed English. But here are a couple of big grammatical changes over the past millennium. If we look back to Old English, so this is the language of Beowulf, think about, you know, 900 or 1,000, it had grammatical gender. Rebecca, do you speak another language that where all nouns are gendered?
I have studied Spanish and French.
Exactly. And in Spanish and French, all nouns are carrying gender. And in English, all nouns used to carry gender. They were either masculine or feminine or neuter. And that was true for every single noun in the language. And when I was in graduate school, I got so interested in that that I actually wrote my dissertation on where did that grammatical gender system go, such that now all nouns, if they're inanimate, they're an it, except for some exceptions like we'll sometimes refer to ships as she. And then for animate nouns, we will use he, she, they, but not it. Now, another big change that has happened in the history of English is that all nouns in English used to not only have grammatical gender, but they had what we would call case. In other words, a noun would have a different ending if it was the subject of a sentence, the indirect object, the direct object, or a possessor. And that has been totally lost, except in the pronouns. So if we look at something like who and whom, you see the remnants of that system because that M ending is the indication of this is who as an object.
I don't think I'm sad that this is mostly gone from our language. That's complicated.
Well, it is complicated, but of course it's in many, many languages around the world that have case systems. And one of the things about case is that if every noun and its adjectives and other words that refer to it have case and show this is the subject, this is the object, you can have very flexible word order. And in modern English, now that we don't have case, we have very inflexible word order. If the noun is the subject, it has to come before the verb. If it's the object, it has to come after the verb. And there are lots of rules like that. Now, I think it's helpful to think about this big collapse of the case system as we think about some of the things we're seeing with pronouns right now. There is what people will often see as confusion between I and me and he and him and they and them and we and us. This is part of that bigger collapse. And in case you're worried, I want you to think about the pronoun you, which has already collapsed. You as a subject, you as an object. And if you look historically, it was ye as a subject and you as an object. Shakespeare could not keep his yees and yous straight because it was collapsing during his time. And now it has collapsed and we only have you. And I will say that whom is trying very hard to die as a word if we would just let it die and let who be both subject and object.
You know, if Shakespeare can't do it, then how can we be expected to keep all of these straight? Stay tuned for more language changes. Thank you so much, Anne.
Have a really good day.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.